This one this morning we have preached on off down through the years. It's a message that, well, let's get into it. Matthew 24 and 12, I want to start. Hit me this morning as I was driving up here and thinking. If you all remember back in from about 1991 to about 2001, we lost several ministers. They were all pretty well in their ages of 50, anywhere from about 51 to about 57, 58. Brother Chuck, Brother Bob was two of the older two, and about the rest of them were all about 51, 52. Some of them, Brother Hargraves, Brother Kimball, Brother Bob Slee, I worked with them, loved them. Had them in my places holding meetings. I've been in their places holding meetings different times down through the years. And I don't know why, but it dawned on me, Carl, you've now lived several years past what they did. And it just hit me. I thought, yeah. And yet you put me up next to Brother Gordon, Brother Leslie, Brother Veda. They were in their 70s, 80s. I'm quite a few years younger than them yet. But Brother Gordon preached till he almost died. Brother Leslie preached till he wasn't too long. He was gone. Brother Veda, he was within about 2 years, but his last message or two was in a chair. But it doesn't matter how you get it there. I preached in a wheelchair for about 4 weeks when I was in Shawnee because I hurt my leg. So the Lord's had mercy. And I don't really understand why he would give me a longer life than some of the others, but the Lord knows. But the bottom line this morning is what I want to preach on is something that if we will do this and have this and be this, this is what will take you to heaven. This is an absolute must. It's not something that you can turn on and off, and we'll get into that very end of the message as some tried to do and got them in trouble with God. So this is an absolute must. And in Matthew 24 and the 12th verse, it says this. It said, "But because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now what I want to talk about is love God with all your heart. That's what I want to center on, but the bottom line this morning, because iniquity shall abound. We're living in an abounding age of iniquity. I've never seen anything like it. It is like a roller going down a hill, and it's just gaining steam all the time, more and more and more. They're coming up with all these different things and different situations to hinder and pry against people. And so consequently, this morning, there are many people that you and I have watched down through the year that's allowed their love to begin to cool off, and they've lost it, and they've gone back into sin. Folks, you do not want to do that, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. It can't happen. It can happen to any one of us in here if we're not very careful, if we're not stringent in holding to the things that God would have us to do and live the life that He'd have us to live. The bottom line is the devil's going to move in, and he's going to cool us off if he can. He's going to turn us if he can. He's going to lay something out there that eventually trip you and I up, and we'll be lost just like the others. So Lord, help us this morning. To keep that from happening, let's go to Deuteronomy, 6th chapter. We're going to jump from the front to the back of the Bible this morning. We'll end up in Revelation. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Love the Lord thy God. Love the hear, O Israel, 6 and 4. Well, 6 and 3. Hear there, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may entreat mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Now then, it said here, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now then, when a person goes to get married, they're supposed to, by law of God and man, marry one individual. You're not supposed to anyway. It does happen. But you're not supposed to have four wives or four husbands or whatever. You're supposed to have one. God is asking you and I this morning to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything about you, we're supposed to love God. Just one God now. There's not a whole bunch of them out there. There is. That's not real God. But the real God here, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. In other words, we're pointing you to God. We're pointing you to somebody that loves you, that died for you, that wants you to be everything that he'd have you to be. So he wants you to love him this morning. Folks, this is what's going to get you and I to heaven. This is what's going to keep you and I. Love is the foundation of every marriage. If there's love there, things will go right. There was a minister one time that got married. I don't know exactly how old this couple was, but the story goes that on their wedding night, before they got to wherever they were staying, and he asked them pretty quickly, he said, "Who do you love the most, God or me?" Well, that's quite a question on your wedding night. But she thought just a moment. She said, "Well, I love the Lord the most." He said, "That's good. You keep that and our marriage will be fine the whole time." He wanted her to love God above all other things. Listen, folks, this morning, God wants you to love him above everything. There's not no second and third. There's one. One God. And love him completely and totally and fully in every way. And if we'll do that, we'll be all right. Our marriages will be all right. Our families will be all right. Our friends, our bosses, our neighbors, it'll all be right because we're loving the one and only man, the individual, the Jesus Christ of God that wants us to love him above all other things. Praise God. Love him with all, not part of, not some of, with all thine heart. Love as the intense, affectionate concern for another person, a beloved person, strong liking or enthusiasm for something. Brother Wilson, I like what he wrote about it. It said, true love will cause one to think more of what he can give than what he can get. Now, Lord, help us right here. More of what you can give. How much are we giving to God? Now, I'm not talking about money here particularly. I'm talking about ourselves. How much are we giving to God? The Lord gave me a message one time. I preached one time down in the Roger, four years ago, before the flood down there. And it said, what are we giving? And I said, now I know when I write this on the board, you all going to think one thing, but I said, that ain't even what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about everything else. The problem of it is, when we love God enough, we're willing to give him what he wants, praise God. If he wants us to go somewhere, we'll go. If he wants us to stay, we'll stay. If he wants us to write somebody, call somebody, send a car or a message, or go by and visit them, whatever it might be, if we love God enough, he said, you go do it. Love God with all your heart. Love him enough that you're willing to give more than what you get. And we get a plenty. I'm here this morning because of God. How about you? You're here. If it hadn't been for him, folks, we wouldn't even be alive. We'd be out in eternity. But God loves us enough. He gives us way more than we get. But we're supposed to give him everything. the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. It means to love Him alone, and nothing compares to Him. When a young man falls for a young lady, that's the only one they got eyes for. Forget everybody else. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway. Forget everybody else. When they fall deep in love, listen, when a boy falls in love with a girl, really falls for her, he will do whatever he needs to get her. Brethren, what silly things did you do to get your wife? Or to go see your wife? I drove nonstop one time from down in Miami, Florida, around the clock to eat breakfast with Rebecca the next morning one time. 24 hours. I paid for it dearly, but I done it. And I look back and it might be a little ridiculous, but folks, are we willing to do more than that for God? Are we willing to give Him our whole heart, soul, mind, everything about us, our strength, and say, Lord, here am I, use me, take me, do with me, whatever. I love you enough. I want to be with you, praise God. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to give you Him. Nothing compares to Him. We are ready to give up or do to suffer anything in order to please or to glorify Him. To love Him with all of our life is to ready to give Him up life for His sake. To endure all kinds, sorts of torments, or to be deprived of all sorts of comforts than to dishonor God. Oh, this morning, it takes a love, a deep love for God, and that separates the men and the boys and the women and the girls. Because the men and the women will be able and will, because of their love, it takes a love to give all and to trust God and to live for God totally, completely, like God would have us do. But that's what He wants us to do this morning. He wants to love Him with all of our heart, praise God. He wants a full beaming over us love that will help us to move forward and to do what He would have us to do. How much do we love Him this morning? How much do we love Him this morning? Alright, let's go to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon here about the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter and then the, I think it's eighth verse down here. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. In other words, in one way of putting it, I'm love sick. Could you be charged with being lovesick for God this morning? You can look at young ladies that are engaged and all you can see is the beam and all they want is that man. And the same way with a man. May show a little different with a man than it does, but people knew I loved Rebecca and they knew I was ready to get married, period. They knew that. They would not deny it. One time we were in Monarch. This is before we got cell phones up. And I was trying to get through to her. And later, Miguel told her, said he was like a goose just walking back and forth. He's crazy. He just lost it, so to speak. He wanted her so bad. Wanted to talk to her. Wanted to say, hi, I love you, baby. How are you doing? I'm going to tell you today what you want is that individual. Listen, when we love God, we can be so lovesick, all we want is God. I know there's a balance in this, and I don't want to push it over the wrong way. I want to keep it balanced. But the bottom line, tell him that I am sick of love. I'm lovesick. Well, what would God say about you and I this morning? Would He say that person's lovesick for me? All right now, help us. Help us, Lord. Will the Lord look down and say, oh, they love me. They love me. They love my word. They love me. They love being in meeting and so forth. They love me. What would the Lord say? If your wife was asked this morning, husbands, about your love for her, what would she say? Would she say, he loves me? Husbands, what about the wives? Could you say that she loves me? There was a man one time. He told his young lady, he said, I want to come see you. Sunday said, I'd swim the broadest river. I'd climb the highest mountain. Say, if it don't rain, I'll be over to see you. Now, he looked like he's really going to do something, but something small would stop him from coming. What'll stop us? What'll hinder us from going for God? Lord, help us this morning. I'm lovesick. Can the Lord say, they love me? Jesus, look at them down there, son. They love us. They love us a whole lot. Can they say that this morning? Can they say that? All right, let's go to the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon and the 6th and 7th verse here. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. The coals thereof coals of fire, which has a most behemoth flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, he will utterly be condemned. Now that it said love is strong as death. This is what will take you and I through the very end. This will help us to make it all the way to the end. Death can be scary. It's the unknown. You don't know what it's like. But the bottom line, I found there is people that want to die and want to go on and be with the Lord. Talking about those usually that are older. Brother Veda, he wanted to go. Sister Carrie, she wanted to go. Different ones have gotten up there in time. The quality of the life's not really much anymore. They're ready to go. But the love is going to be the sticking part that's going to hold them steady right down to the end. All right, then it said, many waters cannot quench love. Lord, help us. There's a lot of things that would like to wash it away. Neither can the floods drown it. This last few days, New England, Boston, all up in there, New York, and up in there, they've had some extremely high wind. Really, a northeasterner has pounded that northeast coast, and it's been bad, what I understand. Sister Elaine Ott was down in North Carolina, said they had some high winds, trees toppled, and different things, what they, she said she called me and was talking just a little bit, she's going to church this morning, and she said, wow. Said there's a chapel building and they got a little storage building. Said it's turned upside down right up next to the chapel building. Wasn't the way it's supposed to be, but the wind flipped it. I'm going to tell you, the wind will flip us if we're not careful. The wind can blow us down if we're not careful. But the main thing is, if we got love, we'll get right back up and we'll keep going. We'll get up and we'll keep doing what God would have us to do. All right, let's go to John, the 14th chapter. John 14, St. John 14, 15. 14 and 15. This will be a scripture you can remember. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If a man loves a woman loves a man, they'll do things for each other. Wife can ask the husband to do something. And you know, he can really say, oh, I love you and I appreciate you and so forth. And she said, hey, dear, you got time to take the trash out? Well, no, I can't do that. Well, she might wonder. Or, if it's time for his birthday, and it had been in the past, she would make him a certain meal or make him a certain cake, and all of a sudden she decides, no, I don't want to do that, he might wonder. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is there anything in our past that we have done for God that we're backing up a little bit on now? Is there anything hindering us and pulling on us and, no, I really don't want to do that. I used to do it, but no, I don't want to do that now. Why do we not want to do it? There was a woman one time sitting in a service many years ago. This is actual happening. I know the situation. I know the man that was preaching. I know the woman that was in the pew. She was wearing a wedding ring. And he was talking about blessings. And he told them, he said, if you want blessings, you'll be willing to do things to get the blessings. And I don't know just what all he said, but anyway, it got down to it. And she got to look at that ring and thought, well, is that hindering my blessing? So she took it off. I know another case where a woman took and pulled it off and threw it out in the ocean. and then wanted to get it and put it back on. Now, Lord, help us here. Where's our love? See? Where's our love? This morning, God wants to bless you and I, but He wants us to bless Him too. He wants us to do things for Him too. He wants us to give to Him too. And listen, folks, the wife made a good cake. The husband take out the trash. The husband fix the car. The wife iron the clothes. Whatever it might be. The bottom line, they do things for one another because they love one another. They take them. They do things for them. The bottom line, God loves us, but how much do we love Him to bless Him? The Bible said over there, how did that scripture go? It said, Psalms. Let me get it here. It's 103. I think it's the one I want. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. When you run that word bless far enough back, what does it mean? It means to glorify. Today, are we willing to bless God? Are we willing to glorify God because we love God? I love you, Lord. I love you. But I don't want to take the trash out. I love you, Lord, but I don't want to go see that person. I love you, Lord, but I don't want to keep that commandment. I know you said that we're supposed to do this and this, but I can't do that. I don't love you enough. Listen, that's the way God knows that we love Him, is when we're willing to keep His commandments. Everything that the Lord has shined light on in our hearts, led us and guided us, those are the things that we're supposed to keep and to do. And as He gives more light, more understanding, we do more things. We keep more commandments. We do this and we do that. So Lord, help us today. If you love me, keep my commandments. Are we keeping the commandments this morning? All right, let's go down a little bit. 21st verse. That day you shall know that I am in the Father, and my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now then, he says here that in the 21st verse, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth him, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Brother Leslie told me many years ago, he said, love begets love. Do you believe that? It does. Love begets love. If you show love to a person, usually it will return. Husband, wife, father and children, mother and children, and so forth, it's reciprocated. Reciprocated. And so here it is, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. No, I'm in the wrong verse here. No. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now then, what makes the church of God and saved people different than all other groups? It's a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, he reveals himself to us. He visits us. He deals with us. He works with us. And we respond to Him because we love Him. So today, we want Him to manifest Himself to us. That's our life. That's our blessing. That's our glory, for Him to show us and teach us and work with us, spend time with us, be like a tutor, so to speak. Tutor us individually. Because he loves us and we love him. He's reciprocating. We're loving him and he is begetting that love, so to speak. We love him because we're keeping the commandment and he's manifesting himself in any way that he needs to a deeper depth and to a higher height for you and I. How deep do you want to go? How high do you want to go? How blessed do you want to be? How much glory do you want? If we want these things, we're going to have to love him with our whole heart, and those things will come automatically over time. If we will just pour ourselves out to him. Let's go back to Matthew. I hadn't planned on this. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Matthew. And here the Lord is, he went up and Jesus was led up the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after hunger and so forth. And it goes on down in here. And said in the 8th verse, it said, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. Now then, the devil is still doing the same thing to souls today. He's taking them up and showing them. He said he took him up there in a high mountain. How many of you have all been up on a high mountain? You go up on those high mountains and what can you do? If you're in the right spot, you can see for a long way. Now you can get high enough, you get above the clouds. Or in the clouds. And you can't see very much. That's what we had in Hawaii. Going up we could see, but once we got to the top of about 14,000 feet, we was up high enough then, we were basically in the clouds. And what amazed me is my daughter, that's so fit and supreme in her body, she was the one that's complaining. Rebecca and I was much older than her. We wasn't complaining at all. That caught me by surprise. I said, I don't like it up here. I can't breathe good. Blah, blah, blah. What's wrong with you? Rebecca's got a heart condition, killed her about 5-6 months after that, 8 months, whatever it was, that was the end of April, she died in January. And it really, I couldn't understand it. But the bottom line is, he taketh them up, and he showeth them. Listen today, the Lord wants us to love him enough that even though the devil start pointing things out, I can give you this, I can give you this, I can give you this. We love God enough that we're not going to worry about that. Listen, this right here hinders people from sanctification, folks. Because the devil said, now if you love God and you get sanctified, you can't have that over there. Well, that's a nice looking little house I like to live in. Or, oh, there's a beautiful girl around there. You can't have her neither. Or that pretty red car there, you can't have that neither. The devil points these things out and uses them to hinder you and I. But folks, the thing that bridges this is love for God. If we love him enough, we'll give ourselves to it. The Lord didn't allow him to put him in a corner and hinder him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't want it all anyway. It don't belong to you. Bless God. God loves it. And he's going to take care of us and give us the things that we need. The husbands, the wives, the cars, the homes, the jobs, the money, and the farms, the land, the vehicles, the boats, the tractor, whatever it might be. He can give it to us, praise God, because we love him and we've given ourselves to him. He'll give us everything we need. I wanted to be a multimillionaire when I was a boy, a young man. That hindered me in getting saved at first. And the very night that I got saved, the Lord appeared, went home with me. A man had come and worked with me for 3 hours to try to get me to humble my heart. I've been under conviction for months and I wouldn't get saved. And I was battling and struggling. And the Lord climbed in the car when I went to the house and he said, you can have ever so many riches that I can take them away at a moment's time. And then the man had told me that his brother had been killed instantly, pretty young, and taken out in his turn. He let me know I could go out too. There was no guarantee. Carl, what do you want to do? You can have your riches. I can take them. You can have life, or you can be out in eternity lost. What do you want tonight, child? What do you want? It comes down to wanting God more than everything else. I wanted to live for Him. I wanted to die for Him. I wanted to do for Him. I wanted to be what He wanted me to be. So when I got home, I got in bed and I couldn't sleep. Finally, I rolled out of bed and I said, God, have mercy on me. And I began to beg and plead, and the Lord had mercy and saved me. But the bottom line, the devil uses this trick right here with young people over and over and over. He can use it with middle age. He can use it with older. But the bottom line is, listen, he shows us things and it hinders us. But if you and I will love God with all of our heart, that'll bridge the gap. And it'll take care of that thing because we'll go on anyway. Well, I don't have to have that pretty red new car. Or I don't have to have that fine house. God will supply. Besides, you may not want to live there anyway. You might want to live in another town when the Lord gets to. He might want you over here and not there. He might want this and not that. And so consequently, the Lord wants us. He wants to manifest Himself to you. He wants to show you, blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. You know what that really means this morning? For a long time, I thought that was nothing but going to heaven. It means more than that. It means the revelation of Jesus Christ to you and I. And showing and deepening and helping us to get a hold of what is God. If we love Him enough, He will manifest. He will open. He will reveal Himself to us in a way that He don't do to other people, folks. We're a privileged group of people when we live for God and love Him with our whole heart. Oh, this morning, He said, manifest Myself. Has He been manifesting Himself to you lately? What's He been teaching you? What's He been revealing to you? Hadn't been married too long. We were living on the farm there in Thayer. And there was two houses on that farm, the white house and the main house. Becky and I was actually living in the white house, they call it. But we were eating up in the front house, so to speak. We didn't cook or anything back there. We were just sleeping back there and had the bath and the living area, and we were spending time back there. And one night I was down praying, and the Lord got to dealing with me. He got to visiting with me. He got to spending time with me. And I got so blessed that even though my wife of not very long had just walked in the door, I wanted God more than I wanted her right then. I was enjoying it. I was having Him manifest Himself to me. Listen, folks, when you get it bad enough, deep enough, and grace enough, everything else fades. All you want's one individual, and that's God. You want Him to keep manifesting. You want Him to keep blessing. You want Him to keep opening up. You want Him to keep showing, teaching. Oh, it said, and we will come unto Him and we'll make our abode with Him. Oh, today, going with somebody, being engaged to somebody is nice. But when you get married and you make your abode together, that's the icing on the cake right there. Alright. Jesus, with Him coming in and living within us, that is the full everything. These other religions, they have got their professions, they have got their shouts and their carrying zones and so forth, but I'd rather have Him come in and manifest. I'd rather have Him come in and abide. Even if I got to live in a shack with a dirt floor, that's far better than the mansions on the hilltops out there in the world that the people have got. That's better than having the billions that our president's got. Our Bill Gates is God. Our Warren Buffett's God. That far exceeds with Him manifesting and with Him coming in and making an abode with us. That tops it all right there. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 13 and 3. Back to Deuteronomy. Now 13 and 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and a sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Now then, would the Lord prove our love? Have you ever felt like God has proved your love through the years? Who in the Bible do you know that you can say that God proved their love? Let's go to Genesis 21. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. A man here that is the father of mankind, so to speak, of the spiritual race anyway. And the 22:1, it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I get how that reads. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God provided himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both them together. They came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in over, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. And seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in thicket by his horns, and Abraham went, took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the place of name of that place Jehovah-Rah, and it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now then, number one, God's going to prove our love. He's going to see just how much you love God. He's going to check it out. I love you, Lord. All right, Father, let's see what he will do. Let's see what she will do. Let's check him out, Lord. He wants to deepen our love by proving us our love to him. Now then, through trials, tribulations, hard places, and battles, a couple, when they first get married, they've got their newlywed love, so to speak, and they're all giddy and gushy and all that stuff. But over time, that love will do something. It will deepen because of the hard places. It pulls you together. It molds you together. You'll get to answering the very same things. I was reading a piece about a brother and his sister, or sister and a brother, however you want to say it, that started a business together. I think he actually started, she joined him later, and she said they were so close that you ask either one of them a question and they both will answer you the same thing. Well, husbands and wives do that. They know how they think after a while. Somebody come to Rebecca one time in Monarch and start talking to her and everything. I wasn't there, I was at home for some reason. And they was talking and asking and everything, and she said, well, he'll counsel with you when he gets here. But she goes, I can tell you what he'll say. They looked at him and said, you know what your husband will say? She said, sure, I'll tell you exactly what he'll say. She did. I said, yep, that's what I was told him, all right. I told him that. The Lord wants you and I, not only in husbands and wives, but he wants you and I to speak the same thing. Be the same thing. Had a couple come to me a number of years ago. They were needing some marriage counsel. We sat down and I listened to them and I gave them counsel. They were talking with the several other ministers. I don't know who they was, don't know how many there was, but they come back after a while and we sat down again. They said, we've been going and talking to other ministers about what you told them. Okay, what did they say? The same thing you did. You know how you do that? You do it by the Word of God. You give your counsel by the Word of God. And the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever because it was written by Jesus Christ. And it'll stay the same as long as we don't twist it and move it and warp it. So consequently, you and I will say the same things. Husbands and wives will say the same things because they've been married together for years. There's a connection. They go through hard places. Their love deepens down. It gets riper and richer. The same thing with you and God. The proving of our love helps to build a foundation of faith and power under us. I don't know if I ever said it quite that way before. But Lord, help us today that we love Him. And as He proves us, this is Abraham. This is the great Abraham, the Old Testament Abraham, the father of faith. And he had one son. This son wasn't 6 months old. This son was about the age of 30. They had had a wrong relationship. He loved him, and he loved him. They had a great relationship, and God said, I want you to take him and offer him. How long did it take Abraham to do it? 6 months or a year? According to this, he went right away. He went immediately. Got the boys, got the wood, got the horses, and away they went. And he followed everything the Lord told him to do right down to a T, didn't he? Folks, if we don't follow everything to T, if we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, what could happen? The lamb might not have been in the bush. I don't know if I ever thought of it that way, neither. But the lamb might not have been there, the ram, not the lamb, but the ram, might not have been there when he called out. That could have been. God can do anything. But you see my point. He wants us to follow him to a T when he proves us. He wants to prove us to prove to him and to prove to the world. Listen, folks, people look at us and they think we're crazy. But the bottom line is we love God. One man said one time, said, Carl Schaefer, you're a robot. I said, no, I'm not. I'm doing everything that I want to do. And the things I want to do is love God and go to meeting and do this and do that. It's not that I'm crazy. I've done lost my self and find it, Lord, in Thee. I love the Lord. Oh, today, how many times is He going to prove you? How many times is He going to check you out? He's going to check you out several times down through the years to prove your love. Trials and tribulation. They go, why do I have to go through that? He's proving your love. He's deepening you. If you've got a little bit of slack, He's stirring you up. It means something to be stirred up for God. Oh, today, He proved Abraham. Abraham come through. But God did not do anything that He asked Abraham to do. God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love Him, for God so loved the world. Listen, folks, today, God loved Jesus, but He came to be our Son. Abraham loved God, and he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. Listen, folks, today, Lord help us, when the hard trials come, we love God enough that we're willing to do what He wants us to do, to go on through them, to have what God would have us. It'll deepen us down. It will help us to be more of what God would have us to be. All right, let's go to John. Back to St. John. We're wrapping our own down now. Oh, no, I want 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians here. Just a quick note here. 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 is a scripture. It said, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If any man love God, the same is known. God knows that person. You know if a person loves you, don't you? I know if somebody loves me. I know if they don't love me. I know if they're out to get me. I know if they're shooting at me or throwing spears at me or knifing me in the back. I learned that. I know that. He says here, love the Lord. It said known. Oh, today, the Lord wants us to be known. All right, John 21. John 21 here. Talking about Peter. I want to talk about Peter for a minute. Love the Lord thy God. In the 15th verse of the 21st chapter of St. John. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Lovest thou me more than these? Now that's the way he starts out. Lovest thou me more than these? How much do you love me? Peter had denied the Lord. Peter said he was willing to go unto jail and unto death. But when he got down to it, he couldn't come through. The other disciples, they scattered too. He got down before Jesus was basically standing alone. And so he's saying now, you love me? You made big brags over here, Peter. Have we made any big brags? Well, I love God. I stand up on Wednesday night. I love the Lord. And a mighty wind comes along and blows us plumb off our feet. We love God. Lord, help us now. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not meaning that to be this. What is it, these, that we're supposed to love God? Lovest thou me more than these? I want you to ask yourself this morning, is there anything that you don't love Jesus as much as you do something else? What about your companion? You love God more than your companion? What about your children? What about your family? Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. What about money? Remember the rich young ruler? What hindered him was his money. He had lots of it. Go and sell what they have and give to the poor. He said he went away sad because he had great riches. He didn't want to give it all. He didn't want to do good. He didn't want Christ quite enough. He was a good man. He was much better than a lot of people today. But the bottom line was Jesus Christ, the very thing that hindered him. And that was his love. Listen, folks, the Lord will not ask us to give up anything that will hurt us. He only wants us to give up that will hinder us. And so consequently, he touched the one thing, and the young man went that away. I love you, child. I love you, young rich, young ruler. I love you. But he didn't love him enough. Money is a hindrance to a lot of people. Amen. It's a hindrance to a lot of people. Vehicles. There's a man in West Virginia. Lived in West Virginia for a number of years. He's my age. We have a good relationship. He said he had a neighbor. He said he washed his car just about every day. I had a man that I worked with. Matter of fact, he had more than one, but this one was named Freddie. Freddie had a 1968 Mach 1 Cobra Jet. Gorgeous blue with black interior. He had that thing so clean that you could eat off the air filter. I mean, it was perfect. It was gorgeous. It had power. It could do anything he wanted to do. He loved that car. The man next to the brother out in West Virginia, he loved that car. What do we love the most? A vehicle gets us around here. Jesus takes people to heaven with them. That's the one we need the most. That's the vehicle, if you want to use that term, to get us from one place to another, is Christ. Listen today, do we love the Lord the most? Or do we love money, vehicles? What about a job? Does a job hinder people from serving God and loving God? Yes, it does. There are people that do not want to give up what they've got. They're making too much money. It's got too much prestige, too much power, too much authority, and they don't want to give it up. Lord, help us. There was a man I know that got saved many years ago out in the West, and he had a job, and it was a dangerous job. He was a highway patrolman. And he loved the Lord, and he wanted to be saved, but he knew that he shouldn't kill people and so forth, so he was in a dilemma. What do I do? And the ministers there said, let's pray. And the Lord come along and took his expertise and put him in a college and helped him to teach people. So he got into teaching and left the highway patrol. I'm going to tell you, if a job is a hindrance today, give God the job and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? God's got something for you and I to do. He's got a calling, he's got a way, but we got to love God more than we love our jobs. A business. Businesses hinder a lot of people too. Oh, but you just don't understand, Brother Carr. I started this business with my own two hands. That's fine. Brother Marty tells of a story of a man that he knew. That the man really, really, really sacrificed to get this thing off the ground. And took him some while to do it. But he labored and he labored and finally it took off. But what did he call? What do you got? You might have a business, and you might have money. You might have this, this, and this. I just helped clean a house Friday of a doctor in Shawnee. It was a nice home. I'd rather have what I've got. I'd rather have the Lord. I'd rather love Him. I'd rather work for Him than to have what that doctor has. I've been in, I don't know how many doctors' homes. I've been in banks. We even cleaned. I didn't particularly do it, but we even cleaned the governor's mansion in Oklahoma City at one time. Oh, today, the job, the business, I've got it. I've got it. I've done it. But the business of the Lord's business is the greatest business that you and I can have. It's the thing that goes beyond. It's helping souls. It's doing things for people. It's lifting them up. The bottom line is, we might be able to keep our business, but we got to love God more than the business. We got to love God more than the companion. We got to love God more than the children. There was a man that God was calling to preach one time. And he had several children. And he said, Lord, he said, I can't preach the gospel because of my children. One day a child of them died. It left him in a state of shock. And they had the funeral. They buried it and went along. Will you work for me? I've got too many children. I can't do it. The Lord took another child, took it out into eternity and did him. The father goes, why? He said, you told me you have too many. How do we love the mouse, the Lord? Listen, folks, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. If he puts you in a ministry, pay all your bills. He owns every bank in Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, and all over the world. He owns everything. He can give it to you. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. We need to love the Lord more. More than we do our children. More than we do our money. More than we do our vehicles and our jobs and our businesses. What about a farm? There's a man in Colorado that got killed. They owned hundreds of acres in Colorado worth millions of dollars. And it looks like this man's own sister killed him. Probably for the farm and the money. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, folks. I can't live for you. I can't love you, Lord. Because I have this. What's going to happen at the end? How many farms are we going to take with us? How many dollars are we going to take with us? What are we going to take with us, folks? We're not going to take nothing. Naked I was born in the morning. Naked I'm going to depart out of the world. We're going to walk away at one. We're going to come in one way and go out the same way. Come with nothing to do with it. Except in the end, we can go with Jesus Christ. We can go with the one that loved us and died for us. We can go with the one that when we get down to the end, like we're back in, we can bust out in a big old smile when we're dying and step right out into oh, today, how much do we love? Homes. There's homes that hinder people living for God. And one of the biggest things is wrong relationships. Adultery. That is one of the things that's probably going to snare, in some ways, more people. Because people can't step out. One man told me, he said, I love her, Carl. I love her. And she loves me. I knew that. But how much do we love God? It's going to be tough. I know it would be. I'm living without a wife every day. And I'm free to remarry. It's not easy. It is not easy at all to go by yourself after you've been married for a number of years. It's not easy to do that. The pain, the anguish. Sister Purvis married nearly 69 years. And I was talking to somebody in the congregation the other day, and I said, well, I've been praying the Lord take some of these people home, and I ain't Sister Purvis. He said, well, I don't think she wants to die. I said, I got news for you, buddy. I'm good. I said, I've wanted to die a lot of times since Rebecca died. It's no fun here anymore. Basically, what makes it fun to you guys? The saints, the meetings, my gospel work. If it wasn't for that, I don't want to. God knew what He needed to put me into to keep me going, I guess. But there's a lot of people today that are in wrong relationships that are not willing to love God enough to step out of that and follow Jesus. Lord, help us. It's getting quiet now, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Playing sports. How many of you know who Brother Bob Wilson is? Brother Bob Wilson was an aspiring college baseball player. And he held a meeting, I believe it was in Guthrie one time. He talked, I didn't hear him say this, but somebody else told me about it. And he talked about it in a message. And got down to the point that the Lord just helped him. He let him know, I want to live for you. But I've got this basically in my blood. This is me hitting baseballs and catching baseballs and running around the bases and so forth. That's me, Lord. But I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to do more than sports. And I'm willing. And the Lord help me. When we're willing to say, I want you more than that, the Lord said, what? My grace is sufficient. My deliverance is sufficient. My power is sufficient. If you have to come out of a wrong relationship, God has grace for you on those hours when you're wanting to be with that person, when you're wanting to go places, when you're wanting to eat their food and you can't eat it, when you're wanting to talk to them and you can't talk to them, He has grace. He's able to help you. He's able to deliver you from these things and to give you peace and joy and victory if we love Him more. If we're willing to do what God would have us to do. Love causes us to do what He would have us to do. Keep His commandments. All right, let's finish Revelation 2. And we'll be through here in a few minutes. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then what does it say? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Second chapter of Revelation, first verse. It said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them when say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Sounded like pretty good people, didn't it? Pretty good congregation. They're doing well. But the Lord said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what does that mean? Now, it didn't say you lost it. It said you left it. There's a difference. If I lose a $20 bill out of my pocket, I don't know where it's at. But if I come up here and lay a $20 bill on this altar and walk off and leave it, if my mind's working at all, I know what I've done with that 20. I left it right there. He said, you left it. You left thy first love. Folks, today, a first love means a heart, a hot, ardent love. When people first get saved, Elijah, well, the same thing in a marriage. You can compare, these things are so comparable. When people first get love, they're just all about themselves and doing things and going places and everything. But if they're not careful, you have to work to keep a good marriage going and keep it warm and fiery, so to speak. You got to work at it. Same thing with God. Rebecca used to write notes and slip them in my socks and in my suitcase and different things. And I'd go on an install job and I'd open up some socks and there was a, I love you. I'm thinking about you. You're so sweet. You're the best husband in the world. Whatever she wrote. I know of a case where we were working on a gender job one time, and we had taken our lunches in and put them in the in a room there that we stored our lunches in, and then we'd go in and get them and eat the time to eat. And Niecy Maria, as I call her, had slipped the love note at the bottom of Earl Pearl's lunch sack. Well, the maid thought these lunch sacks belonged to the owner that had gone hunting and they weren't no good, and she would pitch them till she got down to the bottom of Earl's lunch sack and found this love note. I love you, sweetheart. Whatever she wrote, I don't know just what all was in it. But it's quite a nice little love note. And there ever come to Earl, I said, I think I made a mistake. Yeah, I guess you did. You threw her boot away. Marie got it stopped with a love note. Are we sending God a love note? Are we letting Him know that I love you? Listen, folks, today, there's people, it's all Christian, and all these different things, and you want to keep it that way to extend, but it deepens down, it gets richer and more powerful as time goes on. But here's the thing, He said they left their first love. In other words, they weren't the first church anymore. They wasn't begging the pastor to help him when he had a work day. They wasn't going and cleaning the chapel like they used to. Can you do that? I'm going to go out and go camping. Well, there's nothing wrong in going camping. But when you're starting to neglect other things of the Lord, then the Lord can start pinning you down. They were a good congregation. I know thy works. He knew what they had done. Thy labor, thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they're apostles or not, and hast found them liars. And in born they were patient with them, and as patient, and for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted, but nevertheless. He got it down to a minute. He knew exactly where the divine What does it say in Hebrews? I hadn't thought about this. I think it's the 4th chapter of Hebrews here. He said, for the word of God is powerful, though it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Lord knew their heart. He knew where it was at. They were, you can do all these things external, so to speak, and look real good. But the Lord said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Have we left it? Are we colder in our love than it was a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? Can the Lord ask you to do things now that He did then and you still do them just like you did before? Is there places that it's not like it used to be because you don't love Him as much? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord. How much do we love Him this morning? He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to die. When He appeared to me in that arch, He said, I died for you, child. I died for you. That's why 2:12 means so much to me. He was willing to die for me. If there'd been nobody else, He was willing to do it. He loved me that much. Me. You. Individually. All He wants is our love and adoration. He wants us to give to Him. He wants us to be willing. Do you know there's people that has given their lives and been burned at a stake because they loved God and they would not back up and go down? That girl in Columbine High School, the guy said, if you're going to have faith in God, love Him or whatever, I'm going to kill you. She said, I do! And he blew her away. A young person, Lord help us. If we were out there, could we be shot to death because of our love for God? Or would people go, did they really love the Lord? Well, I used to watch them. They were just all over the place for God. Now then, you hardly ever hear the word God mentioned. Do they really love God anymore? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because of that. It's not that fervent, ardent love that we once had. We've allowed it to grow stale, cold. And the Lord said, I love you, child. How much do you love me, child? How much do you love me? How well do you want to know me? Men do a lot of things to win the woman, to win the love of a woman. Jesus done a lot. If every one of us in here that's saved, if we give our testimony, the Lord dealt with us possibly a good little while, didn't He? He did me several months before I gave. He done this and this and this to try to get me. And finally, I'm just tired of this conviction. I'm tired of sin. I'm ready to give it to Him. I did. But now then, are we willing to give that? Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to love the Lord with all my heart. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayer this morning.